Call Back the Past.
On this first day of 1979, we thought we'd go back 100 years to 1879 to try and recapture, through voices and music, something of what it was like in those days. Edison's talking machine was only 2 years old, and as far as we know, no recording survived from 1879. But we do have the voices of those who were alive a century ago, as well as later recordings of the music written in that year. Old M. Golden Slippers was written by James Bland in 1879, and some 20 or 30 years later, banjo player Harry Reaser made this recording. Banjo player Harry Reaser playing Oh, Dem Golden Slippers, a song written 100 years ago. Queen Victoria was on the British throne, and in the era named after her, it was the bewhiskered father who ruled the house, with its over-decorated interior. Mother, well-corseted and weighed down by several petticoats, stayed at home and read genteel novels, though no doubt a copy of the more lurid Penny Horribles could have lain concealed in the bottom drawer. Born 100 years ago in the Transcaucasian town of Gori was a man whose voice would be both respected and feared some 60 years later. The voice of Joseph Stalin telling the Russian peasants to burn their farms in the face of the German advance in 1941. Also born in 1879 at Ulm in Germany, was a man destined to be known as the scientist of the 20th century.
We should strive not to use violence in fighting for our cause, but by non-participation in anything you believe is evil.
Albert Einstein, creator of the theory of relativity, born 100 years ago, at a time when a new operetta by Gilbert and Sullivan was one of the most exciting things in entertainment. Their contribution of 1879 was The Pirates of Penzance, which strangely was premiered in America. The author and the composer had gone there to check on unauthorized performances and possible mutilation of their works. HMS Pinafore was playing at Daly's Theatre, and it said that on December the 1st, 1879, Sullivan actually conducted the orchestra in the pit while Gilbert was on stage as a member of the Sailors' Chorus. But let's commemorate the first performance of the Pirates of Penzance 100 years ago with this recording.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I have information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England like to quote the Fudge Historical from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted too with matters mathematical. I understand equations both simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I am teeming with a lot of news. Lot of news. Huh. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. I'm very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings animalculous. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general. I know our mythic history, King Arthur's answer Caradox. I answer hard acrostics, I repeat a case of paradox. I quote an elegiac, solve the crimes of Heliogabalus. In Koenigs, I can flaunt peculiarities parabolous. I can tell undoubted Raphael's from Gerard Dawson's offenies. I know the croaking chorus from the Fogs of Aristophanes. Then I can hum a fugue of which I've heard the music's dinner for. Dinner for. Ah, and whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore.
Another famous musician who would become well known to South African audiences was around in 1879. Only 2 years old, Elsie Hall was already playing the piano, as she told me in an interview made on her 90th birthday some years ago.
When I was about a year and 9 months old, I played my first tune.
Really?
I was always mad to play the piano, you know. I used to crawl up to it and hold on to the side and play and listen. Oh, I played little tunes I heard other people playing on the piano. I think Lily Bly was my great tune in those days. A funny little nursery rhyme that I suppose my mother sang to me, I don't know. That was a tune I used to know.
Nellie Bly, Nellie Bly, bring the broom along. Sweep the kitchen good and clean and have a little song. Poke the wood. would my lady love and make the fire burn. While I take the banjo down, give the mush a turn.
Hi, Nelly, oh, Nelly, listen love to me. Sing for you and play for you a dulcet melody.
Hi, Nelly, oh, Nelly, listen love to me.
Sing for you and play for you a dulcet melody.
Nelly Bly had a voice like a turtle dove. I hear it in the meadow and I hear it in the grove. Nelly Bly had a heart warm as a cup of tea and bigger than a sweet potato down in Tennessee.
Hi, Nelly, ho, Nelly, listen love to me. Sing for you and play for you a dulcet melody.
Hi, Nelly, ho, Nelly, listen love to me.
Sing for you and play for you a dulcet melody.
Never sigh, never bring a teardrop to the corner of your eye. For the pie's made of pumpkin, and the bush is made of corn. And there's corn and pumpkin plenty love laying in the barn.
Hi, Nelly, ho, Nelly, listen love to me. Sing for you and play for you a dulcet melody.
Hi, Nelly, ho, Nelly, listen love to me.
Sing for you and play for you a dulcet melody.
Nellie Bly, a song by Stephen Foster, which was already 30 years old in 1879. And here's a song that was relatively new in 1879, the campaign song for United States President Rutherford Hayes.
For Hayes and Wheeler too, for Hayes and Wheeler too, we'll cast our vote for the boys in blue and Hayes and Wheeler too. Comrades dear, and did you hear the news that's going round? They say the rebs might rule again on free Columbia's ground. Shall rebel Gray be put in charge to rule the boys in blue? No, never, for the cry goes up for Hayes and Wheeler too.
For Hayes and Wheeler too, for Hayes and Wheeler too, we'll cast our vote for the boys in blue and Hayes and Wheeler too.
We staked our lives and fortunes for our country and its laws. We fought the fight for liberty and saved the Union cause. No Tilden, Tweed, or Morrissey for the noble boys in blue. For every mother's son cries out for Hayes and Wheeler too.
For Hayes and Wheeler too, for Hayes and Wheeler too, we'll cast our vote for the boys in blue and Hayes and Wheeler too.
For Hayes and Wheeler too, for Hayes and Wheeler too, we'll cast our vote for the boys in blue and Hayes and Wheeler too.
The first large-scale skiing contest took place in Oslo, while soccer, which had been popular for several years already in Britain, also found its way to Scandinavia with the establishment of a club in Copenhagen. Cricket was already well established, and in 1879 the Australians beat the English team by 10 wickets in the only test at Melbourne. South Africa's two oldest rugby clubs, Hamilton's, by then 4 years old, and the three-year-old Villager Club, played against one another. Rugby was also played in Stellenbosch. This was recorded by 90-year-old Arthur de Kock in an interview with Charles Fortune some 20 years ago.
Tell us when you first started playing rugby.
In 1878, at the age of 12 years, at Stellenbosch.
That was before there was a university.
No, before it was a university, gymnasium. They were about to build the Victoria College.
And when you played that rugby, did you have any friends who afterwards became well known to us?
Oh, yes. Lots of them. Prime Minister Hetter.
The late Prime Minister?
Yes.
Do tell us that again. Yes. What sort of a player was he?
Well, it was a proper scrum game those days because the rules weren't properly fixed up. And I suppose later on, we were all gathered together and Mr. Herzog and others had formed a club. And then I left in 1879 when the Zulu War broke out.
And where did you go then?
I went back to Kimberley. And from there, I played for Pirates.
That was Pirates was the Kimberley club,
yes,
was it?
Yes, mm-hmm. Irish club.
And what were the grounds like in those days?
They were all perfectly hard, gravel, rock sticking out.
Well, how did you manage to keep any skin on you?
Well, it came off 1 week, and the next week it was off again.
Reference there to the Anglo-Zulu War. On January the 22nd, Cetewayo defeated the British, but by July of 1879, Sir Garnet Wolseley won a decisive victory at Ulundi. Cetewayo was captured in August, and peace was made with the Zulu chiefs in September the 1st. In the same year came the foundation of the Afrikaner Bond, which, under the influence of Jan Hofmeyr, rallied most of the Dutch elements in the Cape Colony with a program of South Africa for South Africans. Kimberley was named in 1879, as Miss Winifred Curry recalled several years ago.
When Kimberley was started, it was called New Rush. And my father was secretary to the government of Griqualand West at the time to deal with the correspondence with the colonial secretary. The colonial secretary of the day was Lord Kimberley. And he wrote out to say that no town could be called New Rush because it would soon become Old Rush, and therefore they must give it some name. He didn't like the name of the farm because he couldn't either pronounce it or spell it. And he'd like to have some name to the town which was more get-at-able in the way. And so the governor of Griqualand West was Mr. Southey. He and my father decided they must give some English names to the places on there, so that New Rush was then called Kimberley out of, as a compliment to the colonial secretary of the day.
Gloaming, a popular song of 1879. The year in which Faulberg and Renson discovered saccharin and W.E. Ayrton pioneered electricity as motive power. It was becoming evident in 1879 that the age of steam was soon to pass to make way for the era of electricity, what with W.E. Siemens exhibiting of an electric railway in Berlin and Edison's successful incandescent electric light. Edison's other marvel, the talking machine, was already 2 years old, and soon it would be responsible for preserving the voices of men living a century ago. Voices like those of Sir Arthur Sullivan, whose music we've already featured in this program.
For myself, I can only say that I am astonished and somewhat terrified as the result of this evening's experiment.
Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seef. and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.